Good morning. It's lovely to see you all here again on this nice summery day. And for those of you at home, welcome as well. I'd like to start by reading a few verses which I know I've read to you before, but it's a good promise and it's something to cling on to and to remember. It's from Romans 8. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. Now in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Lord God, we thank you that we have nothing to fear because you are there with us through the ups and downs of life. We thank you for your love, your unconditional love, that whatever we do or say or are, that you love us. And we thank you for this. We just ask that our worship this morning will be pleasing to you, that we will be able to draw close and seek your face, that we'll be able to learn something new when Carol brings the message later. And that we'll be able to take these truths with us as we leave. Just bless us, we pray. Bless this service. Draw close. In your precious name. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome all. Echo Suzanne's welcome. And those of you who are watching us on YouTube as well. It's good to be together. And you enjoy your time with us this morning. Just a few notices for the week. The holiday club, the final holiday club, Janet's gone so quickly, hasn't it? On Tuesday, that's at 1 o'clock until 2:30. We have the prayer and pick on Wednesday, meeting down here at church at 11, and the lunch club at 12 o'clock on Thursday. Now, we mentioned, I don't know whether it was last week, the week before, whenever, that Jan is organising an Acts and Snacks evening, and that's on the 14th of September. Oh, it looks like you've got a contender already there, Jan. She'd like to know names any information that you might have, that you might want to give her. There's a sheet at the back. She needs to know who's going to be able to contribute to the evening. And there's some flyers as well. So please do invite family and friends. It's a really good evening. We start early evening, 6. Oh, is it? Oh, I didn't see that. 6 while 8. And yeah, it's a good. It'll be a good time. So please do sign up as soon as you can so we know what's happening. On Saturday, the 5th and 6th of October, we have our harvest weekend. And on the Saturday, we're having the coffee morning, which we're going to donate to Macmillan. The usual food, cakes, bric-a-brac books, you know, just a nice time together. And then on the 6th of October, we will be having our harvest service. Philip, yeah, go on, let's be knowing. You've been dying to do that for ages, haven't you? It actually is, yes. And Hazel has got a BMS Christmas cards catalogue that she's put at the back. And she's very kindly offered to do any ordering, but she needs to know. We've got a few months yet, 2 or 3 months, but it's at the back there. If you like to take it, but please bring it back if when you've used it. And just write your orders on the sheet as well. That'd be good. The shoebox appeal, that will be coming up very soon. We've got loads of boxes. We've got loads of information leaflets, although they may be updated because they sometimes change the rules about what you can put in. But if you want to start thinking about that, anybody that's not done it before, it's really good fun. buying all the little bits and bobs, especially for children. They seem to love doing that. So that's something else to think about. So that's all for now. It's set at the website, Facebook page regularly updated, of course. And if you need anything, just give us a ring. Somebody said to me this morning, "You're preaching today, aren't you?" I said, "Ooh, I'm not sure that's the right word. Preaching to me sounds a bit like a lot of great theological truths, but I'm afraid that's not going to happen. The stuff that I'm going to talk about this morning is probably not new to anybody. There might be a few facts that you learn. But I don't think it hurts sometimes just to reflect on the truths that are in the Bible and about our faith. So what I'd like to just talk about and think about this morning is rest. So if you just like to chill out, if anybody falls asleep, I'll consider that a compliment. I'll have done my job well. So that's what I would just like to think about, the concept of rest and sleep and where God fits into all that. It's not going to be very long, but yeah. So I sometimes walk along Orton Lane to the end and back. I know it's a main road, but on one side there's lovely fields and trees and quite a nice view over Ully. And of course there are the wind turbines. Now, I know there are mixed feelings about these. Some love them, some hate them. But I find them quite soothing and relaxing and peaceful. But not everybody agrees with that. Anyway, I was out walking one day and I stopped to look at them. And I noticed that out of the six of them, only one was turning. The others were still resting, if you like. Can machines rest? We sometimes have to turn them off, don't we, when they freeze, as in computers, or overheat when we're trying to ram too many sheets of paper into the shredder. They've been overworked and they need time out to be able to start working again. Now, rest and sleep tend to go along side by side, but they are, in fact, very different. So just look at sleep for a while. I don't expect anybody to put their hand up when I ask this question, but I wonder if anybody might be having a little nap this afternoon. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's very good for us. Studies show that napping in the afternoon can benefit physical and cognitive performance as well as mood. Who's Mardy when they're tired? Definitely. And when kids are whingy and whining, and we often say, "Oh, they're overtired. They'll be fine when they've had a nap." What about power naps? Apparently these are supposed to be really good, between 10 and 30 minutes, just time enough to feel refreshed and re-energised. If you sleep for any longer than that, you wake up feeling a bit groggy. But these are all just scientific facts that tell us that sleep is as necessary for our body as food and water. And it's another example of the wonderful way our Creator God has made us. Sleep gives our bodies a rest and a chance to get strong for the next day. It also gives our brains time to sort out things, often in the form of dreams. It's a naturally occurring state of unconsciousness and activity. It's fascinating and in some ways quite a mystery. Well, those of you who know me well will know that I do like a few amazing or interesting or just boring facts. So I've got a few about sleep. Some you'll know, some you might not. So an average adult needs approximately 7 hours sleep per night. So we spend nearly a third of our lives sleeping. It's not hard to work out, is it? Well, of course not. That doesn't apply to everybody. Not everybody does that. But that's what we need. Whales and dolphins literally fall half asleep. Each side of their brain takes it in turn to sleep so they can come up for air. Wow. One of the biggest sleep distractions is 24-hour internet access. I don't think there's any surprise there. And today, 75% of us dream in colour. And before colour TV, only 15% did. This is really sweet. Sea otters hold hands when they sleep so they don't drift away from each other. So sleep boosts the immune system. I think we all know that, don't we? When we're ill, we're told to rest to get better because sleep is a healer. And in John chapter 11, verse 12, when Lazarus had died, his friends didn't know that he'd died, but he had. And they said to Jesus, "Lord, if he's asleep, he will get better." Not always the case, but the point is, even in biblical times, they recognized the healing power of sleep. He had actually died, of course, and Jesus brought him back to life. But they recognized that they were hoping he was just asleep. And there's lots of scripture about sleep. Psalm 127:3, God takes care of his own while they sleep. Psalm 4, verse 8, "I can lie down and sleep soundly because you, Lord, will keep me safe." Psalm 3, verse 5, David says, "I sleep and wake up refreshed because you, Lord, will protect me." Proverbs 3:24, "You will rest without worry and sleep soundly." I said earlier that although most of the turbines were still, one was still turning. Continually, smoothly, not stopping. This reminds me of our God who never sleeps. And we read in Psalm 121, verse 3, the Lord is your protector and you won't go to sleep. So when we wake up in the middle of the night, you know what it's like sometimes? You maybe have had a bad dream or you're just full of worry and anxiety. It's very comforting to know that the Lord is with us 24/7, 365 days a year, always available. So, if you can't sleep, don't count sheep, talk to the shepherd. I love that. So, as I said, rest and sleep very often go side by side. But rest is when the body stays awake. It's a reduced degree of activity, can be active or passing, walking, reading, listening to music, or just sitting, chilling out and doing nothing, which is something that some of us don't find very easy. But it's essential for our well-being, as God created us, that we need rest from the physical side of things, and also rest in our minds. It soothes, calms and regulates our nervous system. Probably the best way to relax is to spend time with God. But back to that in a minute. And the link to sleep is, if we're relaxed and have rested before we try to sleep, instead of going to bed with our brains going into overdrive, we will sleep more soundly and wake up refreshed. And then, of course, there is the rest that comes from Jesus, rest for our souls. Matthew 11:28, in the Contemporary English Version, Jesus said, "If you are tired from carrying heavy burdens, come to me and I will give you rest. Take the yoke I give you, put it on your shoulders and learn from me. I am gentle and humble and you will find rest. The yoke is easy to bear and this burden is light." Now, in the Message, it's a little bit different, but I think it's very good, so I'm going to read that out as well. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Now, Matthew 11 is the chapter that set in the time when Jesus had sent out his disciples on a mission. And it speaks of John the Baptist. I think probably many of us know who John the Baptist was. He was sent by God to prepare the way for Jesus when he began his ministry, of course. Slightly related to Jesus, I'm not quite sure how, but Mary, Jesus' mother, and Elizabeth, John's mum, were cousins, so that make them second cousins. and born within perhaps 6 months of each other. So they were of a similar age. I like to think it would be nice that they spent the childhood together, but I don't think that's very likely, because I had a look on Google, and Jerusalem and the Judean desert, where John was brought up, is 90 miles away from Nazareth. So I don't think there's much chance that they spent much time together. And maybe they didn't even know each other until it was the time for Jesus to begin his ministry. And John actually baptised Jesus, as we know. I think he was a bit of a scary man. He was classed as a bit of a wild man, I think. He lived in the desert. He didn't have any nice clothes or anything. We always picture him having a big, massive beard. And he upset lots of people, in the same way Jesus did. And I think probably in the early days, he didn't actually say much, but I think they probably did work quite closely together. Anyway, John the Baptist, he'd obviously upset somebody too much, and he was in prison. And he was apparently having doubts, so he asked some of his followers to speak to Jesus. And they asked him, "Are you the one we should be looking for, or is there someone else?" He just needed reassurance that he was on track. And of course, Jesus gave him the reassurance, just as he does today. Both John and Jesus faced much hardship as they tried to teach the people the message of love, hope, and salvation. And sadly, many rejected Jesus, as they do today. Matthew 11:20-24 says, "In the towns where Jesus had performed most of his miracles, the people refused to turn to God." And it just says, I think this is lovely, Jesus was upset with them. He would be. He'd be hurt as well, wouldn't he? And as a result, Jesus pronounces judgment on some towns that had actually seen divine miracles, but still chose to sneer at him and mock him. We might think, why? If we had seen firsthand what Jesus was doing, wouldn't we have believed? But we have the benefit of hindsight, don't we? And all they saw was someone teaching them things that was completely opposite to what they'd believed. And next, he affirms the oneness with the Father, stating very clearly that no one can know God except through him. "My Father has given me everything," Matthew 11:27, "and he's the only one who knows the Son. The only one who truly knows the Father is the Son. But the Son wants to tell everyone about the Father so they can know him too." This is often an issue with those who believe they're Christians, because they say they believe in God. They don't understand that Jesus is the way to the Father, the only way. And in John 14, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Without me, no one can go to the Father." And then we come to the verse that I read earlier. Finally, he offers an invitation to the weary and burdened. Those willing to come to him have the promise of rest. The key verse that we're looking at today. "If you are tired from carrying heavy burdens, come to me and I will give you rest. Take the yoke I give you. Put it on your shoulders and learn from me. I am gentle and humble, and you will find rest." Jesus is keen to reveal the Father to those who are willing. Those who are weary are often so as a result of futile man-made efforts to try and reach God. And also the religious leaders of the day were placing unnecessary burdens on the people. Matthew 23:1-4, Jesus said to his crowds and his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must obey them and do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and place them on men's shoulders, but they don't lift a finger to help." The heavy loads were, of course, the demands that they put on ordinary people who were trying to lead good lives and follow the laws of Moses. They did this by using their power, by adding laws and various traditions of their own. That can be found in Matthew 23. But Jesus presents a better way. "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." In ancient times, a yoke was placed around the necks of two animals, most probably oxen, working in a field. This would have been something that the people could relate to, as it was part of their everyday life. Taking the yoke of Jesus means coming alongside him, being close to him, working with him to live the life he wants for us. This opens up a life of discipleship for those who are willing will learn from him, be guided by him in humility and gentleness. The path to the Father through Jesus is not one of weary struggle or heavy work. So what I would like us to do now is to just spend a few minutes relaxing and resting in Jesus. Put everything out of our minds, maybe close our eyes, whatever, it doesn't matter, and just concentrate on being in the presence of God so that he can minister to us. We don't have to do or say anything, just to sit, just for a few minutes. Chris is going to play us a little bit of calming music, and then I've got a poem to read at the end. Poem by Naomi Fatter, written in 2013. The Rest of God. I have found the place of rest hidden by the character of God. There in his love, covered by his promises, my anxious soul finds rest. Rest from worry, freedom from restlessness, quiet from my stormy thoughts. My heart is stilled in perfect peace. Amen.
And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and in his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, be amongst you and remain with you always. Go in peace. Amen.